WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Is it Friday already? Can you believe it? It is Friday, August 14th, 2015, and you are now locked into Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870. We've got a great show to cap off your week as we will dive into last night's preseason NFL matchup, the Detroit Lions taking on the New York Jets and the Lions playing pretty much flawless last night. We'll recap our takeaways from last night's game. Also, head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio, addressed the Ed Davis injury. Of course, Ed Davis, now former starting linebacker for the Michigan State football team, who was injured earlier this week due to a knee injury. D'Antonio talked to the media today about the possible replacements in lieu of the Davis injury. We'll chat about that. And we'll also invite a pretty cool guest for today's Current Sports. His name is Mark Mero, former WWE and WCW wrestling champion, otherwise known as Marvelous Mark. You do not want to miss that chat because Mark is doing some pretty cool things within the community. More specifically, talking to today's youth about the touchy subject of bullying. All of that and so much more. Our phone lines will be open all the way up until 2 p.m. If you want to weigh in on anything that is on your sports noggin, please call 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But without further ado, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit headliners for this August 14th. Claire Hendrickson, a 5'11 junior point guard at Wyoming, committed to Michigan State University's women's basketball program. Hendrickson is MSU's first commitment for the class of 2017. As a sophomore, Hendrickson averaged 14.5 points, 7 assists, 3.5 rebounds, and a little over 3 steals. Impressive get for Susie Merchant and company. All right, head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio, addressed possible options to replace injured linebacker Ed Davis. The first name out of his mouth was Chris Frey, the sophomore who entered fall camp listed behind Davis on the depth chart. D'Antonio next mentioned John Reschke, a middle linebacker who saw his season last year cut short with an injury. He is now healthy. And also transfer Drake Martinez, who originally played at Nebraska before transferring to junior college. He is also a possibility. All right, folks, Michigan State University tailback Delton Williams, who was suspended on March 17th after a traffic altercation led him to show a gun to another driver, resulting in his arrest on misdemeanor charges on March 16th, will be returning to Michigan State football today. D'Antonio placed conditions on Williams' return, most notably pulling his scholarship. Tomorrow at 2 p.m. at Rainey Park, a media members versus ex-Michigan State athletes charity softball game will be taking place in support of the Miracle League of Mid-Michigan. The Miracle League, which began in Conyers, Georgia in 2000, helped children with physical and cognitive ailments have the ability to play organized baseball as a part of a team. Very cool stuff. There are now nearly 250 Miracle League organizations throughout the country. And, folks, guess who's a member of the media roster tomorrow? Just take a guess. The Detroit Lions topped the New York Jets 23-3 last night at Ford Field in the opening game of Lions preseason football. Matthew Stafford led a flawless first drive and finished 2-for-2 for 57 yards and a touchdown on both throws to Golden Tate. Lions rookie running back Ameer Abdullah had 7 carries for 67 yards. Besides the starters, wide receiver Greg Salas had the most impressive performance with 5 catches for 92 yards and a touchdown, a surprise after a mostly lackluster training camp for him. The U.S. men's basketball team ended its mini camp with an exhibition game last night. Sacramento Kings all-star DeMarcus Cousins scored 24 points and grabbed 11 rebounds to lead the white team to a 134-128 victory over the blue team last night. Detroit Pistons center Andre Drummond led all scorers with 27 points and a game-high 16 rebounds. Impressive stuff for Andre. Dustin Johnson took advantage of favorable morning conditions to take an early lead at the U.S. PGA Championship Thursday, shooting a 6-under 66 to take a one-shot lead over Sweden's David Lingmerf in the first round. Johnson tees off at 2:20 p.m. today, and golfers are teeing off on their second round and have been throughout the entire morning. We'll give you an update on new developments in the PGA Championship throughout this hour. And last but not least, some sad news concerning the Harlem Globetrotters. The Washington Generals have lost their last game. Generals general manager John Ferrari, who started running the business for his father-in-law, Red Clotes, in 1987, confirmed on Thursday that the Harlem Globetrotters had dropped the Generals, their longtime foe, as an opponent. In the past two decades, the Globetrotters have changed hands over and over again, the most recent time being in 2013 by Hershen Enterprises. Many believe that this change is a financial one. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those or anything that happens to be on that sports noggin of yours, again, you know that number, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Without further ado, it's about that time to get this show started.
For Dustin Johnson, bad memories of 2010, trying to erase them here at Whistling Straits. And dialed in here in round one.
What?
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, TGIF. Happy Friday, ladies and gents. You are now tuned into Current Sports. My name is Al Martin. I'm your host, always have been. We've got a fabulous show in store for you all. And how about Dustin Johnson, huh? The PGA Championship, the final major of the golf year, taking place as we speak. And Dustin Johnson, who is now actually tied atop the leaderboard with David Lingmerf and George Coetzee. David and George have already teed off for their rounds. David has actually just finished up on the 13th hole, while George is approaching the 18th hole. And Dustin, you know, has yet to tee off for his round and is still tied for that lead. So he is playing magnificent golf. All eyes, of course, were on the trio of Rory McIlroy, Zach Johnson, and Jordan Spieth. Zach Johnson, kind of an up-and-down round for him. He actually finished 3 over par. That's tied with Tiger Woods, who continues to just play not like Tiger as golf, not at least in comparison to when he was in his prime back in the day, right? So Zach, you know, he shot a 3 over just like Tiger did. And Jordan Spieth and both Rory McIlroy both shot a 1 under par. Should be an exciting PGA Championship, though. Kind of sad, though, seeing as though it is the final major of the year. Later on in the hour, again, throughout the hour, we'll be giving you guys an update on any new developments on the PGA Championship, seeing as though there are a ton of golfers playing right now. And we'll give our predictions heading into the weekend on who we think is going to take that entire enchilada. And also, we'll be discussing the Detroit Lions in just a bit. Did they look good or what last night? Now, hey, Detroit Lions fans, it is the preseason. The game meant nothing, but you got to see some faces that we haven't seen before step up, and they look good. You know, a 23-3 romping of the New York Jets. There's really nothing I could point at last night that I'm concerned about for this team when just looking at how they played against the Jets in the preseason. Everything looked well. I mean, the defense was stingy. Again, they only gave up 3 points. The defensive line was pretty impressive. Matthew Stafford, he was great, you know, at least early on. He just had 2 completions, but both of them were to Golden Tate. One was a throw for that touchdown throw to Golden Tate, which he really threaded the needle between 3 New York Jets jerseys. And we all know, you know, just how impressive the open field speed of Golden Tate is. He snagged the ball and went up for a touchdown and made it look relatively easy. And how about Greg Salas, wide receiver, formerly of the New York Jets, getting some revenge, a bit of revenge against his old team, and he looked absolutely fantastic. I guess if there is one thing I can point to that needs improvement, if you will, I guess you can say when it comes to that whole backup quarterback battle, Kellen Moore, yeah, you guys know Kellen Moore, Boise State, right? Kellen Moore came in and he just didn't look comfortable at all yesterday. He had an interception in the end zone. It was like, oh, come on, dude. And then Dan Orlovsky comes in. I think Dan Orlovsky is going to be that number two guy now. I mean, Dan Orlovsky came in. He's ideally a veteran in the league now. He's been in the league for, you know, what, almost like, what, 10 years we're talking here? But he came in, looked very comfortable. He was able to find actually Salas on one of those touchdown throws. He looked great. I think he's going to be number two guy. But Kellen Moore just continues to struggle. Hopefully he gets it together, though, right? But, hey, Matthew Stafford, he looked fantastic. Defense looked great. Amir Abdullah, haven't even brought up him yet. We'll get to that in just a sec, though. Again, I want to get your thoughts on what you saw from the Lions last night. You know that you can call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, who actually I got the chance to see how well his skills were on the basketball court. We played a little bit of street ball yesterday evening with a few of my fraternity brothers. It was a great outing, as it always has been throughout the summer. We've been playing just about consistently each and every Thursday at 6 p.m. Throughout the summer, and last night was another one of those outings, and I invited Isaac out, and hey, I tell you, Isaac's a pretty solid player. He's a pretty solid player. You did a good job out there, Isaac.
Appreciate it, Al. Yeah, that first 21 game was frustrating because, if you remember, I reached Al 1. First off, let's get that out. Al 1. Fairness, I had about 7, I think, when he joined the game because he joined a little bit later.
I did.
But anyway, I was the first to 20. And when I was at 20, the closest was 17. And it's the rule where if you make the shot, you go up to 21, you win the game.
Right.
If you miss it, you go back down to 15. So I got up to 19, made my free throw, and then sunk back down to 15. Sorry, 15.
Yeah, so it clanked right off the rim, and that's exactly how I won, actually. I had 19. I scored a bucket for 19, and then I went to the line and hit 2 shots, and it was over. And I didn't want to jinx myself, which I didn't at least yesterday. Throughout the summer, I have now played 9 games of 21, and I have not lost. I'm 9-0 right now. So hopefully I can make it 10 next week. Right, Isaac?
Yeah, I'll be out there to contest it. I want this one.
It was fun, though. We end up losing, though. Like, who plays full court 4-on-4, dude? Like, I almost had a heart attack out there last night. I mean, I'm used to play. Okay, 5-on-5, you got enough bodies to do that. You know, having an extra body, you know. Because, you know, we all know laziness happens in full court basketball. Where guys, you know, cherry pick here and there. It was a relatively competitive outing last night, though, I will say. And we played 4-on-4 full court, and after that, I was completely done. My body is still aching from that outing, and we had opportunities to win that game. Isaac and I, we were both on the same team, but some young guns got us due to a a pretty clutch two-pointer. It was a three-pointer, but we called it twos in street ball. And he made the shot, and the game was over. Win by two.
So. Yeah, that bank, too, earlier in the game.
So
the
lucky.
Deep bank. Oh. He didn't. You can't call bank from that range.
I'm telling you, man.
He didn't call bank either, but
no.
There's no way anybody can intentionally do that.
Well, I was guard. He was my man, and it went in. And I could see him after he let it go. He ran in like he was going to rebound it because he didn't think it was going in. And it banks in. I'm like, all right, that's just the luck of the Irish right there, right? But a fantastic outing. And that was a good warm up for me, I guess, at least cardio wise, because as I stated in the Quick Hit Headliners, I'll be playing in the Media Members versus X Michigan State Athletes charity softball game that will be taking place in support of the Miracle League of Mid-Michigan. So I, along with Chris Solari of the Lansing State Journal, Joe Rexrode of the Detroit Free Press, David Mad Dog DeMarco of the game, AM 730. Mad Dog's show has now been bumped up to around 3 o'clock. He had a 6 a.m. to like 9 a.m. radio show that he used to do. So now he's on in the afternoons, and he invited me out, and I'm looking forward to playing some softball for a pretty cool cause. I haven't played softball, Isaac, since I was like, man, probably about 11 or 12 years old. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Al, softball, that's not really my sport. To say it kindly, that is not my sport. The last time I really played competitive softball, or then it was baseball. Well, I guess it was T-ball.
Right, T-ball.
Not
right.
Even coach's pitch, just T-ball.
Yeah.
And that was when I was six or so. I was second to last in the batting order, and I'm not sure if I was I think I was a right fielder or something where they put all the really kids that aren't that good. So,
right.
Yeah, baseball, not my game to play. Kickball, on the other hand, if y'all have a kickball out,
oh,
let me know.
That's fun stuff, dude. Kickball, I haven't played that since like gym class of high school, right? Fun stuff, man. But I'm looking forward to it. And actually, for those that want to attend that Media Members versus ex-MSU player softball game, it's open to the public. It's been garnering a lot of attention throughout the few years that it's been here and that it's been put on. And they're looking to get a lot of people out. It's free admission, free charge. You can go out there and enjoy some softball. And hopefully I do not embarrass myself, okay? Our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Isaac, I want to start off by first addressing Mark D'Antonio's comments concerning linebacker Ed Davis, who, of course, was injured near the beginning of this week during the first day of full pads in Michigan State football practice. With a knee injury, Ed Davis, star linebacker, he is now out for the year. And head coach Mark D'Antonio addressed media members before practice this morning, the first time addressing in person, where do the Spartans go from here now with Davis injured? And throughout the headliners, I mentioned, of course, the first name out of his mouth was Chris Frey, sophomore who entered fall camp listed behind Davis on the depth chart. Frey, of course, enrolled early last year, saw time as a true freshman, both on linebacker and special teams. He rattled off a lot of names here. So this is going to be, we talked about the position battle of that running back slot, who was going to be the guy in the backfield as being very, very intriguing. But this has to, be the next one up now. I mean, trying to figure out who is going to replace Ed Davis as that linebacker. He next mentioned John Reschke, a middle linebacker who saw his last year cut short with an injury. Transfer Drake Martinez, who originally, if you remember, played at Nebraska before transferring to junior college. He's also a possibility. Martinez has been working at the star linebacker position in his time in East Lansing, and D'Antonio said he needs to work on his knowledge of the playbook right now. Also mentioned was sophomore Shane Jones, listed as the backup middle linebacker. A ton of young players, including true freshman Andrew Dow and Tyreek Thompson. He also mentioned Sean Harrington. So there's a lot of names thrown out, as we predicted would be when we talked about this injury at the beginning of the week now. I mean, because you got some young guns that could possibly come in and take that position. Right now, Chris Frey is listed as that number two guy, so he's listed well up there. Drake Martinez. There are a lot of names being thrown into this pot. And, you know, anytime you have this many names vying for that type of position, which is a very, very important position, playing on one of the best defenses in college football, I mean, you know, it comes down to those little details, those little things that are going to separate you from the rest of the pack when vying for that slot. And things could change, you know, at the beginning of the year, too. I mean, as you know, as weeks go by, if D'Antonio and his coaching staff finds that whoever they choose to be that star linebacker isn't cutting the mustard, then, hey, that could open up the door for someone else down the line, you know, to possibly take that position as well. If you are a coach, if you are a fan of this team, no, you don't want to see constant changing of the rotation. When you want to see some sort of consistency. And I always say, when it comes down to position battles, as we chatted with Todd Duckett early on in this week, you know, Todd talked about the, you know, how important the big C word is. Whoever is consistent and whoever is consistently efficient, that is who is going to get the job. And there are a lot of names that make it really impossible for us to really say, okay, that guy is going to get the job right now.
I agree, Al. One thing to keep in mind is, first off, the importance of special teams play in this, because all of these players who are being targeted to replace Davis, they were all the big names on special teams last year. Chris Frey was big against Ohio State, as was Reschke. And like you said, I'm excited to see if I would be surprised if one guy wins this position totally outright. I would be surprised if we didn't see a few different faces filtering in through that position over the course of the year, or at least in the early stages of the year before it settles down. So, like you said, Shane Jones as well. He's somebody who you remember hearing a few times last year for big special teams plays. And John Reschke actually forced two fumbles against Ohio State last year. So, you know, these are guys where they might not have gotten their chance on defense so far, but when they got their chance on special teams, they showed up. And when they played some of the worst teams and were in their natural position defensively, they also played pretty well. So I'm excited to see how they do with this next step up. You can bet D'Antonio will prepare them, though.
Yeah, certainly a few other areas I want to note here. When it comes to Ed Davis possibly getting a sixth year as a Michigan State football player, D'Antonio says he's hopeful that Ed can get that. You know, he had a shoulder and knee ailments as a freshman. And he also mentioned that Reschke is in the top 3 to 4 linebackers now. So, yeah, we'll see how that pans out. And hopefully I'm rooting for Ed. Hopefully he can get, you know, that 6 year. Hopefully he can get that medical red shirt and be a part of this squad next year. Because, again, I think if he would have left last year, he would have been a top draft pick in the NFL. And if he does get that medical red shirt, hey, I'm rooting for him to come back better than ever, you know, at the end of the day. Also, Delton Williams back with the team. How about that, man? Delton Williams, I'm certain that he has been, you know, licking his chops, waiting on this moment, waiting on August 14th, the official day where he can return with the squad. Delton Williams, who, of course, was involved with that brandishing a firearm incident off the field back in March. He was suspended. Mark D'Antonio has brought, you know, Delton back with the team and reinstated him as a non-scholarship athlete right now. And right now, you know, Mark D'Antonio also talked about Delton and said that there is a possibility that he could redshirt this season. I didn't see that one coming. So we'll see how that happens when it comes to his scholarship. If he is redshirted, maybe they can reenact that scholarship moving forward for him. But he has been, I'm sure Delton is a guy who has learned his lesson. And, you know, is itching to get back. I was reading a few articles on M Live and, you know, Detroit Free Press, and they were just talking about kind of how Delton Williams has learned his lesson and, you know, has really become a better man throughout this process. And I'm sure anytime you go through something in the legal system, anything that that rocks the boat a bit off the field, that can be a rallying cry to wake up and get your life together at the end of the day, even though when it comes to the specifics of why, you know, Delton was carrying a firearm in general, I understand where he was coming from. I mean, he's had, of course, you know, the loss of, you know, close friends due to gun violence and, you know, close friends and family who have dealt with that back in his hometown and throughout his childhood. So I understand why he was carrying the firearm. But at the same time, we all have to adhere to the same rules. And he just made a sporadic and, you know, just a sporadic mistake that I'm sure he regrets. But I'm glad to see him back on the field. I actually ran into him a few times, as I told you, Isaac, at the Quality Dairy store. He's been working there, shifts from like 5:30 a.m. to like 2 p.m. in the afternoon, just grinding. You know, that alone shows that, hey, you know, he has an incredible work ethic, and he's willing to do what it takes to get back, and I'm excited to see him back on the field. There's going to be – I think that could possibly be a good story if he does return with the vengeance.
Alan, I think those anecdotes about Quality Dairy, and first off, just the fact that he came back without a scholarship says it all about Dalton, because I can tell you, out-of-state tuition is not cheap, and he's working his butt off to make it work at MSU. If he gets a red shirt, like you said – maybe they can reenact that scholarship if he impresses in practice. But this running back position is such a tightly contested battle. We've got Madre London, Gerald Holmes, and TJ Harrell, LJ Sky, all of those guys going at it. And now that you throw, you know, Delton Williams back into the mix, mm-hmm. This really could be a five-headed monster for MSU at that position. Back down south in the golden land of Tigers at LSU, LSU made their living going with multiple running backs. That's how Miles works his system. And I think it could be very effective for MSU because you've got guys like Gerald Holmes, LJ Scott, who are speedy, who are quick and can burst through that line, can get you those big plays, whereas Madre London, Delton Williams, those will be your goal line, third and one, second and three type backs who will be better blockers and can just get that extra yard, carry the pile a couple of yards. So I'm excited to see what this MSU running back position does, if there's a clear starter, if somebody's awarded that position, or if MSU more just goes with a rotation. So, yeah, Delton Williams' return makes that all the more a good problem for Mark D'Antoni.
Yeah, certainly. You got a lot of impressive running backs who will certainly be vying for that position, as we've been highlighting throughout the last few days here on the show. So, but it's good to see Delton back, though. Before we hit this this first break, Isaac, I want to bring up last night's Lions preseason game. A great outing all around for the team. A 23-3 win over the New York Jets in the first pregame, exhibition game of the year for the Detroit Lions. And again, you know, hey, it's preseason. You don't want to harp on it too much. But overall, I mean, when you look at the different components of this squad, I mean, wow, first off, I got to bring up rookie second-round pick Amir Abdullah out of Nebraska, who I got the pleasure to cover throughout his years in the Big Ten. Well, I just really knew. I knew Amir. I mean, looking at his career at Nebraska, I mean, I always knew he's so athletic. He's got a great burst to his game. He's a guy who's going to, you know, you see a lot of guys who are kind of that, you know, that east-west type of a runner who like to, you know, bob around a bit and hit you with a lot of jukes and fakes but don't go anywhere. Amir is a guy who can hit you with some of those jukes but cut north and south. He's great. He's an unbelievable running back. I think he's going to be fantastic. Seven carries for 67 yards. His highlight play came on a 45-yard run on the second possession. Man, I tell you what, if that offensive line can block well for Amir Abdullah, he is going to cause havoc in a lot of NFL defensive backfields, without a doubt. Also, I got to shout out Kerryon Reed. He's making a strong case for winning the starting defensive tackle job next to Haloti Ngata. And this is the post, you know, Ndamukong Suh era. So that Lions defensive line has a spotlight on it now to see how well they are going to play without one of the best players defensively in the game of football. Of course, Ndamukong Suh decided to go for the money, and he is now with the Miami Dolphins. And that was, you know, something I wanted to look at last night to see how well that defensive line was going to play. And there were multiple times where they were able to get sacks, put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, not allow the running game to get going. I was very, very, very pleased with the defensive line of the Detroit Lions last night. And Golden Tate, you know, he shows that he is so consistent when it comes to his production on the football field. Golden Tate is a guy who's so athletic. And what impresses me is not only the catches that Golden Tate can make, but the way in which he gets open. His route running is so crisp, so clean, but also the yards after the catch. He's such a speedy guy who can give you that burst, and he showed you that burst on that touchdown that he had. Golden Tate is, again, going to be a stud in this league, I believe, Isaac.
And Al, all you really need to know is what the Jets coach, Ted Bowles, said about Ameer Abdullah. He said this. This is a quote. "He looked like he did in college. He's as quick as a cat. He's about as quick as Barry Sanders."
Oh, hold on now.
I'm not saying he is Barry, but yeah, he's a good running back. Now, yeah, I don't want to kindle that type of praise because that is way over the top. Who Ameer reminds me of is former Lions running back, a different one, Javid Best. He's who Ameer Abdullah reminds me of, a really north-south runner, but who's super evasive and just excellent. But what I want to bring up is the Lions passing game, because I think finally, some people can take the stress off of Calvin Johnson. Lance Moore used to play for the Saints. I can tell you all you want about him. He's a great slot receiver. He's excellent, or at least he was back in the day. The Saints didn't see too much of him at Pittsburgh, but Lance Moore will definitely take some stress off, give you that slot receiver you need. If Greg Sous can keep playing like this, really solid number four, Ryan Broyles, and then Golden Tate's looking as good as ever. That's five receivers, including Calvin.
Including Megatron, who didn't play last night.
Exactly. Right. So you look at the best passing offenses in the league, they always have multiple weapons to go to. The Lions never really have had that. So now maybe they do, and maybe we can see Matthew Stafford take that next step forward as a quarterback.
Yeah, and Greg Sous was unbelievable. He really stole the show for the Detroit Lions yesterday. Again, he had a few catches from Dan Orlovsky, one for a touchdown. He also, you know, he just looked good overall. He's a very athletic guy who was just very impressive yesterday. So, yeah, you know, so for me, it had to be, you know, my stars had to be, of course, Ameer Abdullah, Greg Sous, and Golden Tate. Those three right there. Again, we didn't get to see much from Matthew Stafford, and deservedly so. I mean, he's starting quarterback. You don't want him getting injured. And also, when it comes to Calvin Megatron Johnson, we already know what he can bring to the table. So, again, for Jim Caldwell to say, "Hey, Calvin, sit out. We don't need you," that's the right choice here. We know that Calvin Johnson is going to continue to be arguably the best wide receiver in the game today. He's freakishly athletic. And when you build up that repertoire and build up the type of resume as a Calvin Johnson, you don't need to play in the preseason. It would be idiotic, especially if he was to go out there and get injured. So I don't expect to see him much, if at all. Maybe one or two plays throughout this preseason period. But right now, they don't need to see him. But it was good just to see football back. I think the Detroit Lions, they've got the pieces. And I think this post-Ndamukong Suh era is off to a pretty nice start with some pretty impressive pieces, to say the least. Folks, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will be chatting with Mark Mero, former WWE and WCW wrestling champion. You don't want to miss that chat and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back. You are now tuned into Current Sports with me, Al Martin. You know, this has to be my favorite story of the sporting week. Kind of an early reflection Friday that I just saw actually on ESPN. But get this, Florida State University is following up on President John Thrasher's desire to implement a mandatory course in social responsibilities for the school's student athletes in light of course, recent off-field issues. Athletic Director Stan Wilcox released a statement on Friday, today, outlining the programs the university is installing in light of the off-season arrest of running back Dalvin Cook and, of course, former quarterback DeAndre Johnson. Of course, DeAndre was actually caught on camera in a bar punching a woman in the face. Cook allegedly, again, hit a woman several times. This is Dalvin Cook, not DeAndre Johnson. Cook allegedly hit a woman several times during a June altercation. And, of course, that following night, that's when the DeAndre Johnson incident happened in which he punched that female in a local bar. Both were charged with misdemeanor battery, and Johnson was dismissed from the team. Cook, whose trial begins on August 24th, is indefinitely suspended. Now, since December of 2012, there have been six known accusations of Florida State football players perpetrating violence against women. Only former receiver Greg Dent has been convicted after a jury found him guilty of misdemeanor battery, but not guilty of sexual assault. Cook's and Johnson's cases are currently ongoing. Seminoles coach, of course, Jimbo Fisher, said in July he has a zero-tolerance policy for violence against women. And now the university is seriously considering implementing a mandatory course on social responsibilities for the school student-athletes in light, of course, of those recent off-the-field issues. And this is a solution that we have constantly talked on or about, on the show with the amount of off-the-field incidences that we see not only in the NFL, in college football, but also in the basketball realm as well, the NBA, college basketball. We just see athletes or student athletes just do idiotic things that lead, you know, down the road to a Don Trouton place. And we've thrown around the idea, man, of student athletes, especially those who are going to make that leap to the pros, those who come in, you know, having to go through a course on how to handle yourself as a student athlete, especially at a big university. And, you know, I'm glad that Florida State is sort of, you know, getting above, you know, the wheel here and saying, hey, why not we look into this? Why not implement this mandatory course to help out our student athletes and to let them know how important it is for them to conduct themselves in a responsible manner away from the game? I absolutely love that story. Again, folks, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to actually, before we bring him on, I want to play a bite of his career, which was fabulous. I remember actually growing up and watching him on my television. I grew up, you know, a big, big professional wrestling fan. I don't think you guys know that, okay? I used to, you know, watch, at the time it was called the WWF. One of my favorite wrestlers was The Rock. I used to watch Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kurt Angle, The Undertaker, Kane. I mean, I could go on and on and on, okay, folks? And this is one of the wrestlers that I would watch, you know, each and every day, each and every week, who was one of the most entertaining in pro wrestling history, okay? His name, yeah, I think you know it, folks.
Wild Thing! Merle's gonna go for the Wild Thing! And if he hits it, we've got a new champion right now! Here goes Merle! Do something, buddy! Taking his time!
How about that? At the time, he was actually dubbed as the Wild Man back when he was a wrestler, pro wrestler for the WCW. And, of course, that nickname transitioned into Marvelous. Marvelous Mark Mero is who I'm talking about, former WWE and WCW wrestling champion. He is on the line with us right now. And you know what? He achieved, you know, success as a champion in a WWE and WCW. And, you know, he's now helping youth stand up to bullying and to believe in themselves. Trying to put an end to bullying is an, of course, ongoing struggle throughout society. It seems as though each and every year, or every few months even, we see a young man or a woman sadly take their life based on, you know, a bullying incident at school. We all know how crazy cyberbullying has become over the years as well. Encouraging children to never give up and to speak out against bullying is the first step in ending this epidemic. And Mark has dedicated his post-WWE career to inspiring students to overcome bullying and self-destructive thinking, set goals, dream big, and to appreciate those who support them most in life. It's my pleasure to welcome to WKAR's Current Sports, Marvelous Mark Mero. Mark, how you doing?
Wow, I tell you, that is one heck of an introduction.
But I had to do it big for you, Mark. Come on now, man.
I don't even know what to say. I think you've said everything I needed to say.
Interview over, right? It was good talking to you, Mark. No, I'm joking.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be on your show, man. I love your enthusiasm and, you know, your commitment to helping other people and your excellence of broadcasting. I'm really a big fan, and thank you for having me on your show.
Mark, you have no idea how much that means. And, you know, I've been looking forward to this all week, actually, when I got confirmation that you were going to join me on the show, because there's so many things I want to talk to you about. And first, Mark, I want to start about your incredible post-professional wrestling career, in which you have dedicated hours and countless time into talking to today's youth about bullying. Why did you decide to get out into the community and begin this?
Well, you know, I always said, you know, there's two types of people. There's people that say something needs to be done, and then there's the person that says, I want to go out there and do something. I think for many years of my life, watching a lot of tragedies and things that happen, I always would say something needs to be done. And I think I got to the point in my life where I just said, I really want to go out there and do something. And it started just by speaking to a football team at Melbourne High School in Florida. And then it just grew. And then speaking to a middle school and a high school and a college and then corporate events and churches and over 1,300 events around the world now, even going over to Russia to speak. And this year we're going to Mexico City three times, and we're speaking to 18 schools over there. It's just an amazing opportunity to make a difference. And I often say, you know, there's no greater joy than helping someone else.
Yeah, that is so true, Mark. And you know what? When looking at this incredible cause and really discussing the heinous world of bullying, which seems to have taken just on just so many different layers in today's society, because, again, you have social media now implemented into it. It's now dubbed as cyberbullying. You have kids bullying each other through social media on Facebook and Twitter and so on and so forth. And I remember growing up and, you know, seeing kids, you know, bullied who when I was, you know, in kindergarten, first and third, second, third grade. And it seems to be a problem that has existed for a long, long time. And I'm pretty sure you may even have stories that we may not know about. Why did this really touch your heart? Can you talk about your personal experience when it comes to this subject?
Sure. You know, I grew up in a single-family home. My mom worked two jobs to support us, and I grew up on the west side of Buffalo, New York. And back then, it was I'm sure it's still a bad neighborhood, but back then it was a really bad neighborhood. It was during the racial tension in America, and it was there were a lot of riots. And I remember, you know, going to school, I was a minority, and we were getting beat up a lot, and there was a lot of picking on and teasing. But what happened to me was, because we were very poor, my mother would buy a lot of our clothes at garage sales. And, you know, I mean, she spent really pennies, nickels, and dimes on pants, shoes, and shirts, and that was my back-to-school stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember I was in school, and this kid goes to me, that sitting in class, he stands up in front of everybody. He goes, hey, Merrill, I got a T-shirt just like yours. Mine's got a red stain under the arm. And without even thinking, I lift my arm, and sure enough, there's a red stain. And then he goes, man, you got that at our garage sale. Man, that's my shirt. You're a bum. And the whole school caught on that word, bum. Everybody would call me. That was my name, bum, everywhere I would go. And I remember just how bad I would feel. I mean, kids would yell it down the hall or when I was leaving school, or, hey, bum, you going to garage sale this weekend? And I would act like I didn't hear them or it didn't bother me. But inside, oh, I was dying. I just hated it. I hated going to school. And I'd run home, and I would sit in the stairwell going to my apartment. I would just cry. And my mom would come home, and I'd just say, Mom, look at me. I can't go back. And she would hug me, and she'd tell me how much she loved me. But she said something. She goes, Mark, it's not what's on the outside that matters. It's what's on the inside. But back then, you're just a little kid. You don't want to have to go through that. And there was just a time in my life that I can really relate to what kids go through, but it's so much worse. You know, Al, when we were in school, we never knew kids that were self-harming, cutting, burning themselves. We never knew kids that wanted to kill themselves. I mean, I never knew a suicidal kid. Today, it's hard to find a kid that doesn't know someone that already took their life or is self-harming through cutting or whatever they're doing to mutilating their bodies. Very sad.
Yeah, it is very, very sad. And again, when you're talking about saving a life here, Mark, because again, you know, nowadays you see it so often. I mean, I turn on the news left and right and hear about, you know, kids who have been bullied just, you know, ending it all and deciding that, you know, life is worth, it's not worth living because of what they're currently going through. When, you know, when the line is that fine between life and death based on what a kid is going through. How do you, as a motivational speaker and someone who has gone through that growing up, how do you approach that very sensitive topic?
Well, first of all, you know, kids want to know that there is hope and that somebody cares. I have met so many parents now that have lost their kids to suicide. And one of the things the parents say to me, and I've learned so much of this, they've actually become really good friends of mine that have actually toured with us or gone to many of our presentations. But many things that they tell me, I've learned some and I put into my presentations, was parents would say, if he or she only told me, if I only knew. See, many kids hold it inside. It's like when you hold it inside, it's like a volcano. And sooner or later, that volcano erupts. And many times it erupts in negative behavior. It could lead to alcohol, drugs, self-harming. Many times it leads to suicidal thoughts. And, of course, worst-case scenario, kids that have taken their lives. The one thing I do when I go to schools, I want kids to know how much they are valued. And let them know that they have to learn how to love themselves. See, you can't give away what you don't have. And many of these kids, they don't like who they are, or they believe they many times we base our limitations on what other kids think and say about us. And I tell them, you're not defined by their opinions. You are special. You are talented. You will do amazing things, and you have to believe that. So it's getting kids to believe in themselves, to learn how to love themselves, but also how to talk and be able to talk to their parents, talk to a counselor, open up, because they have no right to hurt them or destroy their life because of what they're doing or saying or picking on or punching them or hurting them every day. So, but also it's getting other kids to stand up for them and getting other kids, get that place just on fire to help other kids, because the greatest joy I have, like I said, is helping someone else. And every day I get these letters, hundreds and hundreds of letters. We got a whole staff that works here that takes care of this with me or helps me with it, because we get so many kids that are suicidal. We try to get these kids the help that they need. Knowing that we're able to maybe change and save lives throughout our country, we'll do about 220 events this year throughout the country. We're even going, like I said, to Mexico City. We're going there for 18 schools, 3 tours. We're going to be going around our country. We'll probably be going to Australia, New Zealand. But we're going worldwide, but it's a worldwide epidemic. I mean, suicide is the third leading cause of death among young people in our country alone.
Wow. Wow. What a message, Mark. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKR's Current Sports, we're chatting with Mark Mero, former WWE and WCW champion wrestler, who is now helping to save lives, more specifically when it comes to our youth, and standing up to bullying. Now, I tell you what, Mark, your Champion of Choices presentation is literally saving students' lives by empowering them to make the right decisions. You know, you receive hundreds of messages each day from students. You talked about the countless letters that you have gotten from your presentations and from the lives that you are impacting. How have you been able to connect to this generation, which, you know, attention spans are so short. There are so many distractions out there for today's youth. How have you been able to relate to them and impact their lives and come down to their level?
Oh, well, that's a great question. I got to tell you, when I first started this, I was 47 years old. And I remember saying to my wife, I go, Darlene, I can do this for maybe 3 years. No kid is going to listen to someone over 50 coming to their school and talk about anti-bullying or suicide prevention or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I am now 55. I have never connected better or have had more joy and passion about what I do at the connection with the kids. And I do that because I talk about not only, you know, we have a suicide prevention goal setting, substance abuse, and anti-bullying message, but I really found a way to connect with kids, especially with goal setting, you know, because, you know, we see so many kids that they want to be rich and famous. They think that's what's going to bring them happiness. There was a time in my life where I could be considered rich and famous, and I never was so miserable in my own life because of the bad choices I was making. You know, and that's where it comes around. We become who we surround ourselves with. I tell these kids, your friends are like elevators. They're either going to take you up or they're going to take you down. You show me your friends, I will show you your future. And it really does impact these students about who do they surround themselves with? What do they really want to accomplish in their life? You know, you're either going to build your dreams or you're going to work for someone to help them build their dreams. Which do you really want to do?
Such an inspirational message, Mark. For those out there who are listening to this interview and want to get, you know, their hands, something tangible in their hands about what you exactly do. I mean, you're the author of a book, How to Be the Happiest Person on the Planet. I talked about, you know, the incredible DVD, your Champion of Choices presentation. How can people out there get your work?
Oh, gosh, please go to our website, which is Think, T-H-I-N-K, Poz, which is P-O-Z as in zebra, thinkpoz.org, O-R-G, and you get all our information. You can actually, you know, we can't go to every school, so what we're doing is we actually filmed one of our presentations. You're a big wrestling fan, so you're going to enjoy this. my buddy is Diamond Dallas Page. We wrestled against each other probably 50 to 100 times, you know, all over the world. And but he's, to this day, he's been one of my closest friends. And what happened was I was presenting in a school in Atlanta, Georgia, and that's where he has his DDP yoga studio out there. And they film their yoga workouts, their DDP yoga workouts over there. And Dallas said to me, he goes, hey, Mark, do you mind if I have my crew come over and film your presentation? I said, sure. And, of course, the school gives us permission. Mm-hmm. And so he films our presentation. And one of his guys that works for me, he put together that little five-minute video that you see on, that went viral. Over 100 million people have seen this now. But he put it up and he said, hey, Mark, why don't you put – he goes, we're going to put this up. And, hey, you never know. Maybe it'll go viral. And sure enough – it's seen all over the world. Like I said, over 100 million views now. And it opened the doors for us to travel all over the world now to present and speak. But the five-minute video, I've gotten more letters from parents, students, and just people that seen it that said it saved their life. If you got a second, and I'll read you a short one I just got, okay?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, certainly.
It said... this young lady, what a beautiful person she is. She's actually my friend now on Facebook. She said, I had pills in one hand and a drink in the other. I had enough to end my life. I was ready to leave it all because I didn't fit in. I felt unwanted, like I wasn't supposed to be around, like I was God's mistake. I looked on Facebook one last time and saw your video about your mom. I looked at your page, and with tears rolling down my face, I put the pills away and read your post. This was 10 minutes ago. If it wasn't for that video, I'd be filled with pills on my way to see God. Thank you. And that's just an example of the hundreds and hundreds of letters we get every week from students or people that saw that video that changed their life. But more important than not just saving life, but seeing the parents and the families that have come together and bonded with moms and dads said that my kid called me up and told me they loved me and they were sorry and they reconciled with their families. What a beautiful thing that is. You know, and we're living in a world where, you know, social media and our cell phones have taken so much joy, and we don't even realize that it's joy that's taken away from the interaction when you could actually talk to someone face-to-face. You know, I tell you, our smartphone has outsmarted us, in a sense.
Yeah, it certainly has. It certainly has, Mark. And that letter, I'm trying my best to compose myself right now because that is so touching. And when you read things like that, Mark. I mean, again, this is a direct impact and a direct influence from what you are doing, my friend. How does that make you feel?
It's a blessing. You know, and every day I hit the ground running. I do. I drive my wife crazy because she laughs because she goes, I've never seen anybody that could wake up and be out of bed before I even open my eyes. It's because I have a purpose every day. Every day it's passion. We have an amazing staff. We have these board. We have these conference room meetings, and everyone gets the letters or things that have come in or places we're going. And it is really about just making a difference in somebody else's life. And we have the most passionate staff that, oh my gosh, listen to the letter from this mom that just came in, or dad, or, you know, or a tragedy that happened. And, you know, many schools, the sad part is, Al, sometimes we'll go to school and they go, please do not talk about suicide here. I'm thinking, that's the sad part. We've got to talk about, we've got to open up and be able to talk about what's happening to our kids and letting kids feel like they have a safe place. Because if you make them feel like they can't talk about it or you don't want to talk about it, why would someone want to come to you and tell you how they feel or what they're thinking?
Exactly.
We've
being
got to start opening up those lines of communication about suicide and self-harm and bullying. And another, here's another thing, though, is what really bothers me is, you know, parents have really checked out. I mean, there's some great parents out there, and I'm sure many of your listeners are amazing parents, but there are so many parents that have checked out. So many times we see a single mom that has stepped up and taken care of families because dad's going to have babies with four or five different girls, or we see the grandparents have to step in and take care of these kids. And in a way, because I know this, I'm around this every single day, you know? Mm-hmm. And I have to say, it doesn't matter who's in our White House. It matters who's in our house. And we have got to start coming together as a family. We have got to start taking the responsibility of raising our kids properly. When I see a parent give a smartphone to a 10-year-old kid, and I'm thinking to myself, you have no idea what this kid can now access. I go, oh, no, she's my best friend. I trust her. Are you kidding me? I'm watching pastors from the pulpit from some of the biggest churches in our country fall because of sin and temptation. And you're telling me a 10-year-old kid is going to say, no, I can't go do that because my mom said I would be in trouble. Are you kidding me?
Right,
we
exactly.
We have got to start realizing what our kids are being accessible, have access to. These young kids are able to look up pornography or murders or violence. I mean, these little kids are watching beheadings at, in elementary school. You think they're desensitized to violence, and as they get older, it means nothing. They've seen that before. It doesn't bother them. First time I ever saw someone get murdered, I'll never forget it. It, traumatized me. Now, you just watch the news. It's like nothing but negativity and doom and gloom, and everybody starts going to work going, wow, our country's going to hell. This government stinks. And we see no positivity. We see no positive role models out there.
Right. That is so true, Mark. And I don't think that, parents realize, just like you said, how powerful those, stories and those videos and those messages can be and can have, a profound effect on someone who is young and whose mind is still being molded. And I tell you what, Mark, you are one of the catalysts who are doing one fantastic job in spreading that message and that education across the board. And we're out of time, my man, but we really appreciate you being on. I got to have you on again, Mark, in the very near future. How's that sound?
Oh, Al, you are awesome. And once again, if I could just give out my website, which is Think. POZ, P-O-Z as in zebra, thinkpoz.org. Please email us, or you can even call us at 407-862-4800. We want to come to a school near you. And Al, I hope there's an opportunity to present out your way. And I would love to meet you in person.
Oh, you know it, Mark. We are definitely going to make that happen. Not hopefully going to make that happen. We are going to make that happen. How's that sound, Mark?
Oh, that sounds wonderful. God bless you, brother. And like I said, thank you for all you're doing for the community.
Thanks so much. Again, the one, the only, marvelous Mark Mero, former WWE and WCW wrestling champion. Mark, we'll be in touch.
All right, brother. God bless you.
All Bye-bye. Right. Man, was that fantastic or what? Was that not great or what, Isaac? I mean, the message. And you can clearly hear the passion, from Mark on that. I mean, I tell you what, he hit on just about every single point that when you look at bullying in today's society, he hit on every single point and every single layer that we talk about. And it's so remarkable anytime you see a former athlete using their platform and using their stature to make a difference in our community. And that's exactly what Mark is doing. Fantastic interview.
And Al, this is when sports makes a difference. You saw it. Herschel Walker has a similar story when he was bullied as a kid. And of course, he became the great Herschel Walker. Jamal Charles he was in the Special Olympics growing up. So all of these athletes, really, they're such a visible source of inspiration to kids. When they come out with these stories, it makes such a difference in people's lives.
Certainly does. Quick Reflection Friday, what's been your favorite moment, story, or maybe story we didn't get to here on the show?
I'm going to stick with the helping kids subject. LeBron James said any kid who graduates from his camp will get free college sport. SB Nation did the calculation on that. If all of the 1,100 kids do, that's $41 million for James.
How about that? Yeah, I saw that story last night. LeBron James, one of those athletes who's always got a big hand in the community. And mine had to be with just now, interviewing Mark Mero, a guy who I grew up watching in WWE and WCW. He's doing some fantastic things. That had to be mine right there, all right? I got Dustin Johnson winning the whole thing in the PGA Championship. What about you, Isaac?
I'll take the same.
There we go. Thanks so much for all of you for tuning in to WKR's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR AM 870. Be easy, people.